When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key today. Morning, guys. Morning,
what,
morning.
What's up,
Max?
Baby?
What's going on? What's popping?
Tell you what, we're just talking to the guys.
What's slapping?
Rothenberg and DiPietro. I was just talking to the guys about what the Jets should do.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about tipping.
No, yeah, they're bad tippers, apparently. I was talking about what the Jets should do, because Evan, our producer, and I were talking about it, because he's a psychotic Jets fan. You kind of have to be psychotic to be a Jets fan.
You do.
But
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who are you talking to? I was talking to him. What do you mean? Evan's having the conversation by himself. They'll say you're crazy, Evan. No, shut up. They won't. We just like the Jets, right, Evan? But guys, they got two top 10 picks. If they could, if the Jets could leave those picks alone and just use other stuff to get an elite receiver like a Metcalf or an A.J. Brown, should they? Or do they have so many holes, they just got to use it all to fill holes? First, guys, here is Robert Saleh, Jets head coach, at a press conference talking about addressing their attempt at trading for Tyreek Hill.
We thought it'd be a really good opportunity when it was presented to us to add an elite player to our offense, along with all the really good players that we have now. And obviously Joe was aggressive, took a big swing, didn't work out, win some, lose some, but happy we tried it. You win some, you lose some. The young man wanted to go to Miami. We knew that. We knew we had to be aggressive, which I felt like we were. And, you know, it's really excited for him, you know, that he gets his opportunity to go back home, and really excited for the opportunity to compete against him.
Now, what was hilarious earlier in the show is that I talked about one of my top three worst sports memories was, you know, the Giants kicking it to DeSean Jackson with a season on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Canty played in that game for the Giants. And I'm like, never mind you.
Exactly right. Like, he was more hurt by it.
I was. Well, I believe I was. Yes, that's right. I believe I was.
He was more invested in the
If
team
you were so invested in it, why'd you let him come back 21 points?
Because
you were on
they
that
had
defense.
Michael Vick playing quarterback. You try catching him.
Oh, wham. Michael Vick and Deshaun Watson.
What
and Deshaun
I don't need
Jackson
from you right
so
now
fast.
Are excuses.
That's right.
Really?
I don't need you to. Yeah.
Oh, so
I don't want you to set that
tone. That's what we're doing.
I'm a Giants fan. What do you want from me?
I understand that. We got you a Super Bowl the year.
It's not enough.
All right.
That's all you got to hold on to right now, Jay. I'm sorry.
That's a fair point.
So, guys, the Jets did miss out on Tyreek Hill, right? They missed out on Tyreek Hill, and he is a unique talent. He's not like any other receiver. Not really.
Cheetah.
But should they give up a package of draft picks for A.J. Brown or Deebo Samuel or D.K. Metcalf? I'm not saying those guys are all the same to me. Metcalf's a little bit different potentially, right? If they don't have to touch one of their top 10 picks, they don't have to give up anything in the first round. Then they can go out and get a pass rusher, a corner, whatever they need. Would you do that? Just draft picks and neither of the top 10 picks. Here's what I'm saying. If I have a lot of needs, I'd like to address them through the draft. I want to sign plug holes with short-term deals that'll come off the books so that if Zach Wilson actually has it and we're ready to win at that point, I got money to spend. I don't want to trade draft picks for a receiver I then have to treat like a free agent and sign to a big contract. Evan is a Jets fan. He feels differently. He wants the bird in the hand. Chris, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't have a problem going after a proven commodity because the draft picks, that's a roll of the dice. It's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get. So going after a guy like DK Metcalf from an organization that seems like they're in sell mode would make some sense. Now, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, those guys aren't going anywhere. Those deals are going to get done because those teams are competing for a championship. But DK Metcalf seems to be the guy that everybody's starting to pay attention to. And if you're the Jets, you got two top 10 picks, you got two second-round picks, you got two fourth-round picks this year. That's a lot of draft capital. I don't necessarily need all those rookies on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Let me mortgage some of that draft capital in order to bring over some veterans, because all of these young guys that I have on this roster need some veteran leadership. You got to teach young guys how to win. And so going after a receiver, a big-time playmaker, not only helps your quarterback, but it helps your locker room. It helps Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas establish their program and give it some legitimacy, some credibility in the eyes of the young players that don't necessarily know what pro football is all about.
It gives you leadership, CC. It gives you leadership. And I got to
tell you. Which is why I'm not mad that they missed out on Tyreek Hill, because I don't know that Tyreek Hill gives you that leadership. Playmaking ability, I'll give you. But when you're giving a guy $30 million a year, Jay, you're paying him for more than just the production on the field.
I'm just going to say this, and it's not football related, but leadership in general. My rookie year going to the league, like, we had Jalen Rose, who was our leader. But Jalen Rose is coming from Indiana, excuse me, and had a really bad experience with Isaiah Thomas. And the way he led, it was so different because it was about being rebellious. Mm. It wasn't about, hey, this is what we need to do for it. He wanted to win. He wanted the ball out. But it wasn't as locked up as it would have been as my experience coming from Duke. So you talk about that leadership you have. If you have a DK Metcalf that can, hey, Elijah Moore, come here, young fella. Let's go out. Let's have dinner. This is how we do it. But also, though, CC, it helps you find out sooner about Zach Wilson. Because now it's like you're throwing to somebody who's proven. Throwing somebody who could make the catches. And it gives you a better insight, I think, on if he's your guy or not, sooner or later.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at what the Jets had to work with this year, right? They had Braxton Berrios, Corey Davis, and Elijah Moore. I mean, Keelan Cole, those guys, none of those guys are number one receivers. They're not. DK Metcalf is, and he's proven that. And beyond that, Jay, he showed me his true sports character in that primetime game where Russell Wilson throws an interception and he hawks down Buda Baker and stops him inside the 10-yard line.
Bingo.
Like he gives his defense a chance to get a stop and only give up three as opposed to seven right there.
I asked.
That stuff makes a difference in terms of being able to be a leader in a locker room, but also being able to have the respect of your peers.
Well, CeCe, look what he just said about Russell Wilson leaving. Like he just said, well, now that Russell isn't here anymore, this is my team. I need to own. Like, that's the sign of somebody that wants to step up and own something.
Remember when Metcalf was in college and he wasn't putting up the numbers commensurate with the way he looked and the physical measurables, right? Uh-oh, is that a red flag? He came on First Take one day, and Molly was stumping for him. Oh, the Giants should get Metcalf. He came on First Take. Some guys you talk to and you find out what they're about. They can't hide it, right? They're not just talking for the camera. It comes out of them. Metcalf had one thing on his mind. I want to be the greatest receiver who ever lived. When you see a physical specimen like that, with those measurables, say that, you go, okay, this is different now. He's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the strength, and he's got the desire, right? Metcalf, to me, is different than Deebo Samuel, who's a very interesting player. But I think Deebo Samuel's number one attribute is that he saves
his roster spot. His versatility.
Yeah, you got two roster spots in one. It frees up a roster spot, basically. A.J. Brown's excellent. Metcalf, to me, is different. I would be more tempted to trade for him than the other guys.
Yeah, he's got more dominant physical traits. I mean, we were talking about Tyreek Hill. What's his dominant physical trait?
He's speed.
He's the fastest guy with the ball in his hands in the NFL. Well, DK Metcalf is really, really fast. He's also really, really big. You're talking about a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", 230 pounds.
And strong.
This just makes me depressed because I feel like the Jets are just loaded with talent, a lot of draft picks. I know the Giants have draft picks too, but it feels like
– you got to convert those draft picks into players, Jay.
I know, but I understand. It just feels like the Jets have a lot more upside with the youth of their potential, right? The potential of their youth, excuse me. Whereas I look at the Giants, I'm like, all right, we got Daniel Jones. It feels like we have to make a decision on him. Saquon Barkley. Like, we have a lot of older assets, it feels like, as a Giants fan.
Well, you can feel good about what you saw from Andrew Thomas in year two. You can feel good about your left tackle.
I feel like you're saying that with a little bit of hesitancy. You're like, you're not really sure.
No, Andrew Thomas, I think, is he went from a bust early, which is unfair to say.
That's a strong word.
But he was pretty good last year.
Andrew Thomas was not good in the beginning, but it sometimes takes left tackles a year or two.
He was better last year.
I think he was good last year. I think Andrew Thomas was a good left tackle.
You can feel good about Kadarius Toney. You feel good about Leonard Williams. Anyway. I mean, outside of that, you really don't have a lot of cornerstone pieces. So, yeah, if you're asking me which team in New York has more upside, which team I'm more confident in their future over the next two or three seasons, It's the New York Jets.
That's my point.
I will tell you after this draft. I will tell you after this draft who I think is better.
I know.
It's a bad place to be.
You got to wait till the end of this draft. They both have two extremely high picks, right? Let's see what happens. If the Giants wind up, if it falls to them, Evan Neal, and then wind up trading back and get Linderbaum and someone else, and all of a sudden you look at that, you go, Andrew Thomas and Neal and Linderbaum, and they signed a couple guys on the offensive line.
Or Thibodeau for your defense.
But they also got other stuff. All of a sudden, if they shore up the line of scrimmage, given their head coach now and the GM, I might like the Giants' future more.
I don't know, man.
Like,
I mean, you got Elijah Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton on that offensive line. You do have Zach Wilson, and you have Quinnen Williams, who could be one of the best young interior defensive linemen in the National Football League. I don't know, man.
Mekhi Becton just missed a season.
Yep.
Vera Tucker's good.
Did you see Mekhi Becton in his
rookie
season?
No doubt. I like him a lot. Hey, Evan, are they moving him to the right side, or are they keeping him on the left side, Becton?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. He's a big guy.
He's a modest.
I was
he's
on the phone with Brendan Hayward, who's ready, by the way, whenever you want to go
excellent.
To him.
Let's go.
But what was the question?
Becton, are they keeping him on the left side? They're moving him to the right side.
They're moving Becton to the right side. Right. They're going to keep Fant at the left side. They're also doing the same thing with their guard. They're moving Elijah Vera Tucker
to the right side?
To right guard, because Lankin Tomlinson, who they just signed from
That's
San Francisco,
a huge signing.
Is going to be on the left side. He's more comfortable there. The Jets
by the way,
get
I forgot
a center.
About Tomlinson.
If the Jets just get a center, they'll have one of the best offensive lines in football.
Right,
they'll go from one of the worst to one of the best.
So they should. What the Jets should do, this is what everyone's like, don't draft a center. It's not a value. If you have an incredible center prospect, use it. Finish your offensive line, period. Once that's set up, your running game will pop. Then we'll find out about Zach Wilson, especially if you go get a proven commodity at wideout. Okay. We got Brendan Haywood on the line right now. I just heard it from the horse's mouth. So did you. What's going on, Brendan? Thanks for joining us this morning.
What's going on, man? Good to be here.
Good. You're listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, Chris Canty in for Key today on ESPN Radio. Brendan, how surprised are you what do you think that UNC got to the Final Four this year?
I'm pleasantly surprised. I wasn't surprised that they made it, because coming down the stretch of the season, if you watch UNC play, the guys really improved. Hubert has done a great job, cut the rotation down. They played a lot better. But I'm surprised from where they started, because at the beginning of the year, it didn't look like this was going to be a really good Carolina team. But, you know, being an alumni, I had to stick with my guys, and I watched them, and I watched them grow. And I knew there was a chance they could beat Baylor. I was like, Baylor's good, but Baylor's not what they were the year before. So once they got past Baylor and you got a team with guys that are very, very confident, like Caleb Love is a confident kid, you knock off a team like Baylor, they're looking at the rest of that bracket like, yeah, we can beat anybody. So I'm not surprised that they're here.
Chris, you know why? You know, I mean, I had to introduce Brendan because Jay won't even talk to him.
Yeah, Jay doesn't want to talk to him. He doesn't want to ask him a question or anything. So I feel like I have to keep the interview pushing with Brendan.
I have nothing to say to B-Wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, man, Jay used to beat me up when we was in college, man. Come on, man. You won a championship when I was in college.
You were 6'11". You used to punish me.
I do want to thank you, though, B-Wood, because you guys beat us at home February 1st. By the way, I don't know what your free throw shooting percentage was, but the fact that you went to the free throw line and you made those two free throws to beat us at camp, you have no idea how much you have stained me as a player, because that loss was still in my head, but it helped us win the championship that year. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Okay, well, it was great for me, but it ended up working out better for you guys.
I do have to ask you, man, like Caleb Williams, like, you know, I'll be real with you, right? I'm pseudo North Carolina fan. Like, Caleb Love,
Caleb Love.
I don't know why I said Caleb Williams. I'm thinking about USC and football, because we talk football all the time on the show. Caleb Love, watching them all, like, he is sometimes when he is on top of his game, I'm like, damn, this dude has a chance to be special. And there are other times I'm like, man, what is he doing? But the way he's been playing these last two games, what have you been seeing from him that gives you confidence that this could be the game for him?
I'm just seeing the fact that he's confident. And the one thing you can say about Caleb Love, he doesn't lack for confidence. There's games, like you said, I'm an objective UNC fan. While I'm watching the games, I'm like, what type of shot is that? Why is he shooting that? Like, he's 2 for 10 and he takes a wild three. But that's what makes him great also, is that he doesn't have a conscience. He's not scared. If he's 2 for 10, Jay, you've played with guys, they're 2 for 10, they're scared to be 2 for 11. Mm-hmm. That's not him. And that's what makes him good. He is not afraid of the moment. If he's having a bad night, he can shoot his way out of it. If anybody saw UNC versus Syracuse in the regular season, Caleb Love was having a terrible game and came down the stretch and carried UNC into overtime and helped us win that game. And that's what makes him good. His mindset is, man, listen, if I'm 3 for 10, two for nine, I don't care. I'm going to keep shooting. I'm going to keep making plays because that's what this team needs. And that is what this team needs. We can't win unless one of our guards are playing well, Caleb or RJ. Maybe not both of them. If both of them playing well, you're probably going to lose. But we got to have one of them play well to win.
Now, I know, B. Wood, that you know guys like Ed Cooley, Mark Few, Coach K, their names are involved for National Coach of the Year. But I have to believe it goes to Hubert Davis. What he's been able to do for North Carolina in his first year after Roy Williams retires, it's been phenomenal to watch. That interview, you know, of them making it to the Final Four, seeing him cry for what it means for these players. Can you give us some insight into who Hubert Davis is as a person?
First of all, Hubert Davis is a better person than he'll ever be a basketball coach. When I came into the Wizards, he was my rookie. I mean, he was my vet. I was his rook. And he gave me such great advice. And I can tell he's giving that same advice to these young men. He's the type of guy that when he comes into your house, you want your son to play for that guy. Because he's a great guy. He really genuinely cares. Doesn't have a bad bone in his butt. You can't find one person that's like, man, I don't like Hubert Davis. He's a bad guy. Well, maybe Chris Carroll will. Outside of that, nobody dislikes Hubert Davis. And so he's a great guy. He's doing an incredible job. And when you look at the job he's doing, I think he has to be Coach of the Year. This UNC team doesn't have anybody that's a locked first rounder. When was the last time UNC went to the Final Four and didn't have like two or three guys that we thought were going to the pros? Like, some of these guys might make it, but they're going to have to take the hard route of going to second round or going through somebody's training camp, summer league. No guys that are clear and present first rounders. This is the same team from last year, minus two pros. You take off Kessler Walker, you take off De'Ron Sharp, and you add in Brady Manick. And then he has to switch. Jay, you played against UNC all the time. This isn't the same offense that Roy was running for the last 20 years that was very successful. When was the last time you seen UNC run a play with a strong side corner field from their four man, which is Brady Manick? Hubert had to change his offense so we could get more with the time, so we could get better recruits, because the stretch fours don't want to play like Sean May and Antoine Jameson. They want to play like the way Brady Manick is playing right now. He changed the offense. He's taken this team minus two pros and done better and exceeded expectations, and now they're in the Final Four. I mean, that's what a Coach of the Year looks like to me. He changed the culture of it. Not the culture, but he changed the system. And within that first year, that system is paying dividends.
Talking with former UNC All-American center and the best-dressed big man in sports television, Brandon Haywood, on KJM. Real recognized, real. Now with Kyrie Irving back as a full-time player for the Nets, B. Wood, are the Nets the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Oof. Man, that's so tough, man. I'm still going to say that Milwaukee's the team to beat. They're the champs. You got to knock the champs out. But I tell you this, I wouldn't want to see the Brooklyn Nets. When they had the Kyrie vaccination thing, I was like, okay, yeah, they can't win because he was going to miss three games every series and there was going to be too much pressure on KD. But with Kyrie, they're the scariest team. They have the highest ceiling. I'm going to say the team to beat is still Milwaukee. I'm going to roll with the champs. I love Giannis. I think he's having an incredible year that people are slightly overlooking, you know, how to kind of get voters fatigued when you've been great for a long time. They're just kind of like, oh, yeah, you're great again. He's kind of getting overlooked. But I have the Milwaukee Bucks as the team to beat, but the Nets are the scariest team because KD can get super, super hot. And he, to me, is still the best player in the league. And he can go somewhere with his offense that most people can't.
So, B. Wood, there was some breaking news that we had on Get Up with Brian Windhorst, pretty much saying with the Boston Celtics that Al Horford, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown did not play in their game against the Toronto Raptors. The reasoning why the Celtics did not have them to play, there was no comment from the Celtics organization. Now, they did play the following game the next night. And it leads us to believe about the vaccination rule that Toronto does have. So there's a lot of speculation around, you know, are Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford vaccinated due to this could be one of the matchups we may see early in the playoffs. I'm curious, without Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Al Horford, you know, what would you give the chances to the Boston Celtics on how they would handle that if they were potentially matched up against the Raptors?
If you're talking about if Jason Tatum, Al Horford can't play, you said, and Jaylen Brown?
And Jaylen Brown, B-Wood.
No, come on, man. Like, they're not beating Toronto. If you just took two of the three, they're not beating Toronto. Then you got to throw in the fact that the big fella Robert Williams has a torn MCL. We don't know if he's going to be back for the playoffs. He probably, even if he comes back, he's going to be compromised. And he's a athletic big man. He's not like the Joker where it's like, yeah, he can win with passing and posting up and little jump hooks. This guy has to jump on that knee and pound all night long and play above the rim. Block shots, come out of nowhere, protect the weak side. So losing Robert Williams already compromised the team. If they have to go into a series without basically four guys that are starters, the Toronto Raptors will be able to beat them if that's the case.
So Brendan Haywood on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Chris Canty sitting in for Key today. I just want to mention one thing. Whatever the truth of the situation, Jason Tatum has said he is vaccinated. He did not play last night in Toronto, their three best players didn't play, nor did Jaylen Brown, nor did Marcus Smart. But Jason Tatum has said he is vaccinated in the past. Brendan Haywood, thank you very much for your time this morning.
All right, B. Wood.
Hey, one last thing.
Go ahead.
Jay Will.
What up, B?
If UNC wins.
Oh, see, everybody trying to make me bets. I'm trying to tell you, man.
If UNC wins, because I know you were there last time when UNC walked into Cameron and we smacked the Blue Devils worse than Will Smith smacked us. If UNC wins, you have to go on your Instagram or your Twitter and recant the statement that Joel Embiid is a combination of Kobe and guard it was,
maybe.
Kobe and somebody else.
Kobe and the
As an ex big man, I hate it. I hated everything about it.
Okay,
you have to go back and recant that statement.
Okay,
not Kobe Bryant.
All right.
And if you come up with something for me, you can DM it to me, and I'll do that.
Oh, I'm gonna DM it to you. I will send it to you.
Yes, yeah,
by the way,
and
B. Wood, if you see MJ, tell him to stay the hell away from me because I am not trying to make any bet with MJ on this game. Because
Big Bank always wins.
Yeah, there's levels to this.
MJ don't make bet regular. MJ's not going to bet you $100. MJ's going to be like, bet you $20,000. Like, MJ, we ain't betting $20,000. We made money, but we ain't make your money. We ain't betting
$20,000. Do not take my pocket change.
Get out of here, man.
All right, man. Y'all be safe.
All right,
be
what?
All right, my gosh. Thanks, Brendan Haywood. All right, much more on this Celtics situation that Jay brought up with Brian Windhorst himself in 20 minutes from right now. But coming up, how much would a current GM pay Baker Mayfield to play in 2022?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Did you know you can listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max
commercial-free. That's right. You can listen to all your favorite ESPN radio shows and much more without the ads on TuneIn, the best audio app for sports fans. Just download the TuneIn app to get started. And we have now Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, with us to play fill in the blank. Sorry, a little paper shuffle on my end, Mike. All right. Baker Mayfield, Mike Tannenbaum. Baker Mayfield would be valuable where? At what?
Well, that's what's so interesting. I would say Seattle or Carolina. But the interesting thing now is, if I'm one of those two teams, Max, I'm making the Browns pay $18 million of his guaranteed salary, and I'll pay him at the league minimum.
Yeah, right. Cost you $1 million.
So you're talking about $20 million overall compensation, but for Seattle, only be having to cover, what, $1 million of that? That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing, Mike T.
What about Jimmy G? Where would Jimmy G be valuable, Mike T?
The San Francisco 49ers. I am hard-pressed, guys, to think why the 49ers would get rid of such a good quarterback who's been productive. And while I'm super intrigued by Trey Lance, what's the rush to get rid of a good quarterback that's been productive for you?
Well, just for Trey Lance to have an opportunity to get out on the field, Mike T, because it's not just about 2022. It's about trying to capitalize on Trey Lance's rookie contract, because that's the most valuable commodity in the entire NFL. You only got Jimmy G for one more season. Why not flip him for an asset that you can use to be a part of the supporting cast for Trey Lance?
Because your response?
That's easy. First of all, quarterbacks get hurt. It's a long 17-game season.
Yeah, especially Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right, so why not have two of them? And we don't know exactly what we have in Trey Lance. While we could be super encouraged, we have a Super Bowl-ready team. Why do we want to just hand that over to a player who may or may not be ready?
Mike T, they just told me that Jimmy Garoppolo, we know who he is based on the sample size. It's not good enough. Let's trade 3 first-round draft picks for Trey Lance. Why would you not want to get that party started as soon as possible?
Here's what Kyle Shanahan said this morning at the NFL owners meeting. He sees a scenario where Jimmy Garoppolo's on the roster in 2022, as if both Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo are on the roster, as for both, like if they're both on the roster, Shanahan declines to name a starter, right? Like, what happens then? It's got to be Trey Lance's starting job. And Jimmy G is there in the event of injury or failure.
Well, you have to know what Trey Lance is before you let Jimmy Garoppolo go. And you only have him under contract for one more year. You're not going to franchise Jimmy Garoppolo. So it just seems like there's a natural opportunity to let Trey Lance be the starter. Now, I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are presenting this front because they want to make sure they prop up the trade market for Jimmy G, because it's moved a little slow in terms of teams being interested in him because he had surgery this offseason on his throwing shoulder.
I ain't moving Jimmy G. It's like Saquon for the Giants. I'm not moving him unless you bowl me over. He has more value for me than a bad draft pick.
Completely agree, yeah. Max. But here's the thing. John Lynch said last week that they've gotten multiple second-round picks offered to him for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know how true that is. The only scenario that I could come up with that makes sense is that the Seattle Seahawks, who need a quarterback and who are in their division, offered a multiple twos
Mike
for that deal.
Chris, go ahead, Mike.
Chris, you know what John Lynch did? He took a negotiation class at Stanford, so that's what that's all about.
All right. Daniel Jones would be valuable where, Mike T?
Right where he is. And that's why we hired Brian Daboll to make your New York Giants better, Max. He's developed quarterbacks in the past, and this is a huge year for Daniel Jones. Don't turn it over. Stay healthy. And you may be the giant quarterback for a long time, Daniel Jones.
Mike T, you are declining the option that they have to make a decision on this offseason, right? There's no way you give him the fifth-year option, correct?
100%, Chris. Just look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Sam Darnold. And if he plays great, Chris, we could get the deal done, or we could tag him next year. And candidly, that's a great problem to have.
Well, based on the sample size, Mike T, just out of curiosity with Daniel Jones, if you are talking about him playing well enough to want to extend him, what would that dollar figure look like on average annual value?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around $25 million a year. I don't think he's as good as Kirk Cousins right now. And to me, that's what's so hard about the quarterback position, guys. There's just not enough of them, and to me, he's a B at best, and you have to pay him accordingly.
Hey, let me ask you this. You said Baker Mayfield is a deal, right, because you're paying a minimum. Jimmy G, we know he's got $27 million, you're going to pay him something. What would Daniel Jones, what number? Right, like you answer the Daniel, sorry. Kyler Murray would be valuable at what number, Mike T?
Max, that's a great question. That's a harder one for me. I mean, there's that market around $40 million. The problem is, I don't know if he's worth it, but I also know that if the three of us were running a team, the options aren't great without him. So I guess I would have to go to $40 million reluctantly.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. Well, if Kyler Murray's getting $40 million a year, then what's Lamar Jackson getting, Mike T? Because this is a guy that the Ravens are trying to nail down with a long-term extension, yet he seems reluctant to engage them in contract negotiations. What are you going to have to pay Lamar Jackson to keep him around Baltimore long-term?
Chris, this one's easy for me. Lamar Jackson's a really good player. He's going to go down as a Hall of Fame agent. He waited, and he just made an additional $80 million. I walk into Eric DaCosta's office. I put my feet up on the desk, and I say, hey, guess what? I'm not taking $1 more than Deshaun Watson, but I'm not going to take $1 less. If you don't want to give me fully guaranteed $230 million, I will find somebody who will.
Justin Herbert, is there enough money in the world? What number? How do you value him as a GM, Mike T?
Oh, I think that's totally different. I just say to him, look, you're going to retire a Charger, and the more of the pie you take, the less we're going to have for your teammates. So here's a blank contract. You fill in the amount, and I'll let you know who your teammates are going
to
be.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you something? Chris, before you jump in, can I ask you something? Is it possible to structure a contract where I'm Justin Herbert's agent, I want X percent of your salary cap? Is that a legal contract in the NFL? Could it be?
No one's ever done that. That's been speculated. So I believe you have to put in a dollar amount. If anybody would have the leverage to do it, it would be him. It would be Joe Burrow. But let me tell you, just being around the league meetings the last couple of days, there are a lot of people in the league that are really upset with the Browns and the Haslams, because you think about Joe Burrow, you think about Kyler Murray, you think about Russell Wilson and what he'll get. And that Deshaun Watson contract has created shockwaves in the quarterback market.
Well, Mike T, since you brought his name up, let's go there. Russell Wilson just traded to the Denver Broncos. He's got a couple of years remaining on his deal. But what would it take to get a long-term deal done with Russell Wilson this offseason? What's the number?
Well, again, it would have been last week. It would have been $45 million a year with $150 guaranteed. But what the Denver Broncos did is they gave Russell Wilson a blank check. They gave up multiple first-round picks. And Russell Wilson can't go anywhere. So his agent's going to say, well, wait a second. I'm not going to take anything less than what Deshaun Watson got. And when you want to pay me that, I'm going to sign the contract. And if you don't, I'll go someplace else. So I'm just telling you, like, there have been shockwaves, and the number is going to be $45 to $46 million a year and $230 million fully guaranteed.
Mike T, just real quick, because we're up against the break, we saw that Matt Stafford did his deal after Deshaun Watson and only got $40 million a year fresh off of a Super Bowl, and he's in his early 30s. Does age factor into the dollar figure that you're going to have to give these guys?
Yes and no. I think he was sort of down the road a little bit from what I understand that deal. And I think he wanted to try to keep as many of his teammates as possible. And look, he still got a really good deal. But I think now that Deshaun Watson has kind of settled in on the market, I think we'll see that being different. And I think what Aaron Rodgers has shown is, regardless of age, you could still get a massive, massive contract.
That is Mike Tannenbaum. Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome,
so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Guys, Mike Tomlin, who, I mean, Chris Candy said, I want to run through a brick wall for that dude.
Yeah.
I feel that way. You understand? Like, Mike Tomlin talks, that's the dude you want to play for. Here he is at the NFL meetings, leaving no one to wonder why it is that even with Mason Rudolph, he goes 500, right? Listen to Mike Tomlin, his take on NFL's new overtime proposals.
To be quite honest with you, I'm a sudden death advocate.
Like old school.
I'm a traditionalist. I don't fear sudden death, and I never have. But obviously, I lost that battle a decade ago. But my position remains unchanged. I am one of the few sudden death advocates, I would imagine. I just think 60 minutes, everybody has had a fair opportunity to win the game. And so, you know, when you're talking about changes as it pertains to competitive fairness, I speak to the first 60 minutes that we all had to win the game.
Gerardo,
I'm not mad at
in Las Vegas, guys, wants to talk about it. What you got, Gerardo?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, my proposal is just like the penalty kicks on soccer. We no coin toss, no nothing. We start at the goal line, two possessions there. You're going to do five turns. So we start at the goal line twice, and then we move 5 yards back, and we do five turns like that.
The only problem that I have with that is it's not the game of football. It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gimmicky. It's a situation where you're taking it out of the normal flow from what we see.
I mean, field goal kicking is not really in the game. Like, kicking is like punting and kicking special teams. The normal flow of the game has very little to do with that, and yet there it is, and deciding games a lot of the time.
No, you're right about that. I understand that, Max, but it typically doesn't come down to that just that one moment. It's a sequence of plays that ultimately leads to all the pressure being on the field.
I say like Game of Thrones, choose a champion on each team and have them fight it out in the middle of the field. Whoever wins, that's who wins the game.
I don't know. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, I might put Mike Tomlin out there instead of a player. I mean, dude, it is one thing is clear. When you listen to Mike Tomlin talk, there is no middle ground.
I mean, he knows how to talk in sound bites right? All the time, too. Like, he doesn't even talk in complete sentences.
Remember when they were trying to say that he was linked to that USC job? Mm-hmm. Do you remember how he came out with that? Mm-hmm. I mean, no middle ground with Mike Tomlin. And that's what you love as a player. There is no gray area. You know exactly where you stand with that dude.
He knows one way. Straight ahead.
That's it.
The only way is through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, just compete.
Like Under Armour commercial.
I love it. All right, we're back in what, 10 seconds? Starting from when? I need the countdown. But by the way, we have a very special guest coming up. Breaking news here on ESPN. It's going to send shockwaves through the NBA.
When you look at this Celtic team, they have the best starting five in basketball.
They are now a team defensively that concedes absolutely nothing. They're like a bunch of piranhas.
Hard to imagine them doing it without the Time Lord, right? And he's hurt, but there may be even bigger fish to fry there now. The Celtics were without Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart did play. I think earlier in the show I said he didn't, but it was Al Horford, right? Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart was in the game, and I saw him play until I fell asleep, and I caught him on SportsCenter this morning also, sweating at the end of that game. All right, so they still nearly won the game, guys, but no Tatum, no Brown. We bring in Brian Windhorst now to help us understand why, giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Brian, Windy, what more can you tell us on the Celtics?
So this has been something that's been hanging out there for a while. We've been waiting to see what happens. So the rule in Toronto changed midway through the year. There was a time when unvaccinated players could play in Toronto. They just were under quarantine. I think it was about January 15th where that no longer became the case. We talked about this with Kyrie for a while. If the Nets had played the Raptors in the play-in game or whatever in Toronto, Kyrie couldn't play. But the Nets are not the only player with the only team with an unvaccinated player. So the Celtics go to Boston to go to Toronto on Monday. They have three guys who are, I mean, they were on the injury report, but they all three played on Sunday, so they were scratches. Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown. Tim Bontemps, who covers the Celtics for us, lives in Boston, asked the Celtics, if this was a playoff situation, would all of your players qualify to play in Toronto? And they said, no comment. Now, we know Jason Tatum is on the record as saying he's been vaccinated. I know that. He has said that. So, I don't know what this means. The Celtics had one game and they went from first place in the East to fourth place in the East. I don't know if they're going to play the Raptors. But I'm just going to point out that in the event of a Raptors-Celtics series, vaccination would be an issue. And we have the Celtics saying no comment with, you know, leaving guys home for a game in Toronto.
I want to follow up on the Jason Tatum. Did he say specifically the words, I have been vaccinated against COVID? Or is it an Aaron Rodgers situation where we have interpreted what he said as meaning that, but maybe he didn't actually say those specific words, so he had some, you know, cold-pressed juice or whatever people think is going to protect him against COVID?
I mean, I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm fairly certain that he didn't give himself any out like that. He didn't like that there was – he felt like he had to. He also had – and I don't know what the correct term is, long COVID or whatever, but he had extended COVID symptoms when he got sick last year, had to use an inhaler for a while. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't say with definitive nature who is and who isn't. I can just tell you that these guys didn't play. I think Tatum, I don't think Tatum is an issue, but I don't know. And the Celtics are offering no comment.
Wow.
I mean, hypothetically, and then combine that with the fact that Robert Williams is out.
Yeah.
That's a significant loss
for
them. So
we'll have, I don't know if we'll have an update today, but it's my understanding that Robert Williams is going to have surgery this week. Wow. The question is he going to have the type of meniscus surgery where you can come back in the short term, or is he going to have the type of meniscus surgery that may be a long term? And I'm not an orthopedist. I won't try to guess. But, I mean, we've seen guys come back in 2 weeks from meniscus. We've seen guys be out for a year.
I mean, that's so huge because, first of all, there's this bombshell about we not knowing about vaccination status on the Celtics. Certainly if they have a series in Toronto and we don't see Brown, we would make certain assumptions. If we don't see Tatum, we'll make certain assumptions, especially if the comment from the team is no comment.
I don't want to go too far here. I don't think Tatum is an issue, but there were two other players that were – not there, that we're on the injury report. That's all I really know.
Robert Williams is also huge. Look, I like Tice. He's a nice player, right? And I thought he would kind of be their small big in a smaller lineup, and it would work really great. The difference with Time Lord because of that defense is dramatic, right? That's a huge, huge loss because if they're all healthy and they're all playing in all the games, Celtics could really do this
Max,
thing.
One of the reasons why the Celtics are so great defensively is because they have great ball guards that can apply pressure on the perimeter. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, even JT to a degree, Jason Tatum. And just knowing that you got a guy behind you that can block shots but also can alter shots
allows you
to apply more pressure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Talking with ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst on KJM. And, Wendy, you know I'm the resident Lakers fan on this show. And so I got to ask you a Lakers-related question. Now, LeBron and AD both are expected to miss tonight's game against the Mavs. Are we going to see these guys in the regular season at any point? Or is this playing for the play-in games?
So let's start with some good news for the Lakers. There's very little of it. But we'll start with the good news. AD did practice yesterday in Dallas on their off day. It was the first time he practiced since he hurt his foot. So the indication, assuming no setbacks, which we shouldn't do in today's day and age, I think within a few days, we'll see how he reacts. I think he's going to be back out on the court, which they're going to need. The rest of it's all bad news. LeBron is doubtful. And I got to tell you, there has been a handful of times in LeBron's career where he has sprained his ankle in a game, tightened his shoe, and finished it, and then had to miss a few days afterwards. As resilient as those ankles are, and he was really down about it the other night. He knows his body. He's so calibrated. He's rolled his ankle probably, 70 times in his NBA career. He knows exactly what, and that did not sound like a guy to me who was going to play. Now, this is a guy who is in the month of March. This is going to fire Jay Will up. I know before I say it. In the month of March, he has played more minutes per game than any month in 8 years. He was still in his 20s the last time he played this many minutes a game. I would almost argue that you give him tonight's game off, you take the loss, you slip to 11th, and try to bring him back with a couple more days off at the game in Utah.
This reminds me a lot
of I was in L.A. doing afternoon drive, Wendy, when the Lakers made the Steve Nash and Dwight Howard trades, and they were supposed to take the world by storm, and Kobe Bryant had to wind up willing them into the playoffs down the stretch, last like 20-something, 26 games. But he was playing himself, basically, because was D'Antoni going to sit him on the bench? 40 minutes a game.
40? He was playing 46.
Right, no, but I mean, he was averaging over a good period of time. You're right, because at a certain point, he was playing almost every minute of the game.
Yeah.
And I remember saying at the time, catastrophic injury is a real issue here. It could happen, and it did happen. And other than that 60-point game to end his career, he was never the same. Like, they better cut it back with LeBron, Wendy. We got, like, 20 seconds here.
Well, the only thing I would say is that that team, their draft pick situation was different. This team, the Lakers have no draft pick. So there's no incentive. And also LeBron believes in keeping the hammer down. So good luck taking him on the inactive.
Brian Windhorst, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Wendy, as always.
Thanks, Wendy.
The game of the month. That was the game of March Madness so far. We saw it last night. That's coming up next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.